Peace be with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank God for recently, we have two couples of a brother and sister who have registered to be married. And both couples, they are all Christians. And because they are Christians, of course, when they join together, they have created the two Christian families. So brothers and sisters, Christian attitude on marriage, according to the writers of Hebrews, does the Bible provide us any instructions about Christian marriage? Let's bow and pray. Father, we give thanks to you. May all the glories and honor to you. And as we come before you to study your words, we learn that way before the beginning of time that you have already established the marriage. Establish your words. So everything that we do, may we be following your instruction, following your teaching. At this time, we ask you that today that you open our hearts, open our minds, so that we are able to have the right decision and make the right decision to follow your words. And then may your name be glorified. And let us be fulfilled in every way that we do on this earth. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So 2 points. What God established should be honored. So in regard to Christian marriage, does Bible provide us any detailed instruction? What kind of attitude the Christian should have? So Christian attitude on marriage, according to the writer of the book of Hebrews, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So why did the writer specifically point out marriage? Why should it be honored by all? The reason is quite clear. For marriage was established or initiated by God. It is the principle established by God for all people. God, through his way, has allowing men to populate on this earth. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So this is a system that God has established to be fruitful. To be fruitful and increase in number so they can fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the skies, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So this is the system God has established after he made man. It is God's plan for all created beings that they must be honored or they will be judged by God. So from this perspective, all people must be watchful. In other words, marriage was not especially was not established through men's two rules or policies. Marriage is not according to any political parties. Rather, marriage was established when God created the man, and it is a plan for man. This is the reason why in God's image, he created man. He created both man and woman in his image. So again, God created man according to his own image. At the same way, he created a woman in his own image as well. Therefore, according to the Bible, man and woman have the same status, same position, same human nature. Both man and woman have the same status, same position, same human nature. So it is all according to God's image. So all the people, they are the most esteemed beings on this earth. If you look at across anything, everything on this earth, the most esteemed in status are people, humans. So marriage was established by God for man, were created for woman. And at the same time, women were created for man. As a result, men and women have completed each other in their marriages. This type of a marriage is the only way for men to be fruitful and increase in number. Marriage allows us to continuously be existing in this world and reproduce for next generations and allow them to enjoy God's mercy and grace. And this is God's mercy and grace. So we shall follow God's established system and be respectful of a marriage. So all marriages must be respected by ones who are married or even the ones who are single. So marriage must be respected. People in the religious world used to have a false ideology that being a single is more holy than being married. So why there was such a misunderstanding? It sounds like being single means being holy, but then the married couples are simply worthy people. Those who remain single seem to be more important than the married people. So under the name of a religion, there seems to have some special position reserved for the singles. Many religions have the same ideology that the singles are more holy than the married people. They are more superior and live in a special life. And they even consider the people who remain singles are being called saints or holier than the married couples. So not only this ideology still exists in many religions today. In fact, even the Catholics today still possess such ideologies. Oh. So they feel the virgin should be highly esteemed and respected. And this is such of a false ideology, and it's against the Bible's teaching and against Bible's teachings traditions. So for those who are no longer virgin, for they have married, they will not receive the same respect as if they are singles. So virgins receive such special respect and hold special positions. They have been esteemed as more holy and on different platform than the others. But we got to remember, this is not a biblical teaching. So this Bible is all about life and reverence. They are all about being recorded. So there is nothing needs to be added or taken away. It's complete and cannot be replaced with any other books. The revelation of God is complete and will not be recorded through anyone as an addition to Bible. Because this Old Testament and New Testament Bible is perfect and complete. So if anyone trying to add a new addition to this Bible, these are all false. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. So once again, Bible is complete. It is revealed by God. So there shouldn't be any addition to this book, the Bible. The main responsibility for prophets or and or disciples is to relay God's message. So again, this New and Old Testament Bible is complete, finished. There's nothing more to be added or be taken away. So this Bible, it was recorded with the breath of the Holy Spirit, and it has no association with any false teaching. All of the cults, misinterpretations, or any other falsehood teaching were all caused by the misinterpretation of what the Bible were all caused by the misinterpretation of what the Bible actually teaches us. For the true meaning of Bible, the message of the Bible, they are all quite clear, perfect, and all correct without any blemish. And from the beginning to the end, they are all consistent on its message. And the reason I want to point this out is to tell you, to share with you that Bible never teaches being single are more holy than the married couples. It never talks about married couples are fallen people. This Bible clearly tells us marriage should be honored by all, for it was established by God, the Heavenly Father. It was Jesus Christ who set an example for us. And also, it is a very important principle that the Holy Spirit truly works. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit of unity. So it is to unite people. It is a spirit of unity. So two became one. That's the special meaning for the Spirit, Holy Spirit. So we got to be alert and aware and not to be misled by today's traditional, so-called traditional marriage, according to the worldly view. The difference between a Christian marriage and a non-Christian marriage is a Christian marriage starts out with a source of love by receiving the relationship of two individual lives. Then mutually, they unite to become one. And this special relationship must rely on God's mercy and grace. And the ultimate goal of any marriage is to unite two people into one. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This type of a family is a harmonious family. This type of a family is a caring and loving household. To follow the Holy Spirit is submit to God's plans. And to submit to God's plans, they will follow God's laws. To follow God's laws, it will lead to the respect of man's marriage. And once again, let me repeat this again. Submitting to Holy Spirit's guidance will require us to follow God's laws. So this type of family will be harmonious. It's a caring and loving and submit to God's plans. And submit to God's plans, they will follow God. It's by following God's laws. And to follow God's laws, it will lead to a family with the respect of the marriage. Second point, commit to each other and communicate regularly. Brothers and sisters, God is the one who established the marriage. And this is why in every wedding ceremony, we witness the vows from both man and woman on how they will commit to each other. The groom and the bride, they vow that they will love each other, be faithful, and never change their commitment till the death. Unfortunately, there were times after weddings, once a new family is established, their romance is no longer there. Their ideology starting to come to reality. They start to feel the experience. They start to experience family pressures. And they start to have conflicts with, since both of them are from different backgrounds. And they start to pick up other people's weak and start to pick up other people's imperfections. And their life is no longer as calm as they thought to be, even to the point of hostility against each other, and ended with divorce. Am I telling you about a story or jokingly talk about the divorce? No, because statistically speaking, every 100 weddings, there are about 94 couples who ended up with divorce. And this is in the country of Portugal. Oh, yeah. And the other one is in Spain. The divorce rate is about 85%. In other words, every 100 wedding or marriage ended up with 85 divorces. And how about US? About 45 divorces in every 100 marriage. So it's about 45%. So as a result, in today's society, many young people nowadays want to get married with one idea. And this idea is that if they are not happy after marriage, they will just divorce and separate. The vow they said in their weddings, it's all about convenience nowadays. Finding a partner or husband and wife that I can have someone that I can talk to. But then when conflict arises, the problem starts to reveal itself. So in the Chinese tradition, Chinese culture, many Chinese couples, they thought a marriage is just happened to be a luck that we get to know each other, is a fortunate thing that we are able to meet each other. So to them, getting married is all about convenience. It is a fate. It could be temporary, but all depends on one's luck. So is it really like that? God said, no, that is not what I have established. What I have established was a long-lasting relationship. I want to unite two into one. And even according to Matthew chapter 19, 3-6, some Pharisees came to Jesus and tested him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Have you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. So therefore, what God has joined together, then no one separated. And whenever I am doing the marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling, I always warn both sides that don't ever take it easy. Don't ever take easy to say things like, let's go and get divorced. That should not be in the ideas of anybody's head. No matter how mad you are, you have to communicate. Never say things that's against God's plan, God's, never say anything that's against God's will. So whenever you're looking for your husband or wife, make sure that you are inquire to God whether this is the person that God has prepared for you. For the marriage, it was established by God, and it should not be separated until one is deceased or until the death. For both sides shall submit to each other. So it is not a blindsided luck for any marriage to be established. Rather, all should be under God's plans. What God has planned, no one separates. In other words, no one shall casually get married and get divorced. Getting married is not about convenience. Rather, it's for two to submit to one another. A good marriage is not about being in luck. Rather, it's depending on how you are willing to give and willing to work hard to cultivate the relationship. Marriage is a holy ceremony, for it is a long-lasting responsibility and commitment, and the most serious relationship for two to commit to one another. Marriage is a lifetime commitment and covenant. So marriage is the most holy and serious covenant. It is a lifetime commitment, so everybody should respect the marriage. So Apostle Paul, he remained single. And the reason why Paul remained single was because he is fully committed to wanting to go and share the Gospels. So despite if you remain single or married, they all should be respected. And it's a lifetime commitment. And it's the responsibility of both sides that they need to be respected for each other and submit to each other and cultivate the relationship all together. And the reason why Christians want to get married in the church is because you are giving the testimonies among brothers and sisters in front of God and also in front of all angels. So this covenant for any marriage is the holy, is a permanent, is a lifetime commitment, and it shall be respected. A perfect marriage is built based upon the reliance to one another and not based on one's feeling or physical attraction. A perfect marriage, once again, is built based upon the reliance to one another and not about one's feelings. They need to commit to one another, submit to each other, sacrifice for each other. The marriage will not be, will be a temporary type of relationship. If you get married, it's all based on one's feeling or one's physical attraction. Even today, if you marry the most beautiful ladies from a school, that doesn't mean this lady, their appearance will stay the same throughout the years. So based on the physical attraction will be a temporary, and it's not going to be long lasting. So when two get married, they commit to each other and commit to this covenant that no matter what happened, they both shall be faithful. So marriage means husband and wife enter into a special relationship, and they must be fully responsible for their relationship. In addition, while in this relationship, no matter what happens, they all must commit to each other. Marriage is like a non-believer became a believer. When one became a Christian, how does one to become from a non-believer to become a believer or a Christian? We cannot just vocally say, I am a believer, that's it. But rather, to become a Christian, to become a Christian, you may say, yep, I verbally commit to Christ, and that's it. So once again, let's think about how does a non-believer become a believer, or from a Christian be a Christian? So when one becomes a Christian, he has to deny himself. He needs to separate from his old lifestyle, his own self-righteousness, his own self-reliance, and turn to Christ Jesus, who died for all sinners. And once you accept Christ Jesus, you will have a new life, and you will become a new creation. The Holy Spirit will indwell in us in our new life. To become a Christian, you have to separate from your old lifestyle. You have to be reject your self-righteous and reject your self-reliance. So you have to separate from your own lifestyle. And to have self-denial is not the end of it, but rather you have to turn to Christ Jesus and to live for Christ. So we have to commit to Christ. It does not matter, no matter it is about your own feeling, and no matter what will happen, he must decide and commit to trust Christ completely. What does it mean to live for Christ? If we don't follow God's teaching, instructions, how can we turn to see Jesus? We have to fully commit to continuously follow Jesus. And with the heart of faithfulness to serve God diligently. And this is very important. As we serve God, that we have to decide to commit and follow and serve God diligently. And throughout the Bibles, you will find a lot of instructions about as a Christian, what shall we do to continue to follow God? So at the same time, God's good intention for marriage is to have both the husband and wife to commit to each other fully and cannot be regretfully easily. So there are so many temptations in today's world. We shall not follow the worldly trend. For example, 94% of a divorce rates that cannot be followed. So God's good intention for marriage requires both husband and wife to be united despite if they are in sickness or in good health, poor or rich, happy or sorrow, joy or in pain, good times or in bad times, in agreement or in disagreement. God's good intention for marriage also means both husband and wife must know to face their problems all together, mutually discuss, having mutual discussion, and seek God's help to actively solving problems and not running away from them. Seeking God's help actively to help solve the problems and not running away from them. Not running away from the problems. In fact, many times when I give the counselings, I told both the husband and wife that no one can ever escape from their problems. A covenant has been made. You shall commit it to one another in your lifetime and try to work together to resolve the issues. So as long as both are still living, no matter the circumstances, they must submit to each other and be united and mutually committed. And they need to learn on how to communicate with one another. The Bible teaches us to walk together unless they have agreed to do so. And this is from Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? So if two do not have good communication, how can they be in one? So the core of a good marriage is to have a good communication. No matter where, if you see any failed marriage, you will see the failures in their communication. If you see a successful marriage, you will see the good communications between the husband and wife. So to establish a good communication, the first step is that both must be open and be truthful in treating one another until both are open to one another and be truthful to one another. They will never truly understand one another, and they won't have a good communication. With good intention, some may hide insignificant problems, thinking in protecting the other side. But if this continues and all the unresolved problems accumulate, they may become a bigger problem. So if you encounter any unresolved issues or uneasy feeling, they must be communicated, no matter if they are big or small. A good communication requires restraint from both sides. But to keep on having a good communication, open and good communications, we must have a good and open communication. And also, we must avoid to use a silent treatment, trying to resolve the different opinions. And good communication requires couples to have a heart of forgiveness, tolerance, and acceptance. We must replace judgments, criticism, harshness, dictation, humiliation, and bitterness with generous encouragement, tolerance, and acceptance. Do not be judgmental, be criticized all the time, be harsh, be dictate how others should react. Do not humiliate and do not be bitter, but rather to have generous encouragement, tolerance, and acceptance in the relationship. Ephesians 4:2 encourages us to be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So to completely commit it, be faithful, and be understanding with unselfish attitude to treat each other. Give a love with always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Let's read it together. Give a love with always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So whenever we are starting to have a conflict, let's remind ourselves about these four things that we have to do. Protect, trust, hopes, and perseveres. Let's remind one another. This is to love the other sides. And for this type of love, will never fail. It is a heart of love by putting others' benefit more than ourselves. So this is our second point. So brothers and sisters, from the beginning, God has, God with his own will created a wonderful plan for man's marriage. It is for all to know and to follow. For all followers will be blessed, or they will face God's judgment. What God has established, they must be respected, mutually commit with constant communication. And this is the way of marriage. May God bless his word. Father, we give thanks to you. We thank you. Your words give us a light. Your words give us the life as we face our realities in this world. We thank you for your words, for your encouragements, for you. Your words is the lights of our path. And we ask you continue to guide us walking in the path that you have prepared for us. May your words dwell in our hearts, continue to be rooted, and then continue to grow. We ask that, Father, that you help us in everything that we do, that we need to protect, trust, hopes, and persevere. And thank you for your salvation. And then for your love that will be bestowed in each and every one of our household. Thank you, Father. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.